Welcome to a special bonus edition of Culturetopia. Today's episode is all about women in men's world, specifically one woman, Nicki Minaj, in one man's world of hip-hop on the radio. I'm Sarah Saracen, an editor at the Arts Desk here at NPR.
And I'm Zoe Chase, producer at the Arts Desk at NPR. Sarah, remember back in the day, maybe like 10, 20 years ago at this point, there was Lil Kim, and she was definitely a woman who knew how to hang with a bunch of dudes. Her whole crew was Junior Mafia, Biggie was the big star, and then there was Lil Kim. She was the only woman in Junior Mafia, and she was quite a provocateur. No, you want to fill the room because it's platinum coated. Take your pick, got a firearm, you should have told it. All that kick, player hating from the sideline, get your own shit. Why you ride mine? I'm a good fella, kinda late. Stash the 80s in Mercedes. Puffy, hold me down, baby. Only female in my crew, and I kick you.
Now there's Nicki Minaj. She's also rolling with a whole bunch of producers and rappers who are men. There's Lil Wayne and his Cash Money label. And we're going to take a little closer look today at how Nicki maneuvers her way through this really sort of hyper-sexualized world of hip-hop.
I mean, pop radio itself, which is where you'll hear Nicki, is kind of a land of extremes in general. It's really hyper-sexualized men, hyper-sexualized women, and not a lot in between.
And she's really sexually suggestive. Like, we were watching some of her videos, and she, like, shows all this skin, and she's got as many metaphors for sex as you can possibly cram into a pop song.
I know, because we were going to put up one of her videos on NPR.org and then realized that was just not something we could do.
Right, that's just not happening on NPR.org. Hip-hop DJ Jay Smooth and writer Maura Johnston are our contributors this week. They have tons of interesting stuff to say about the image of women, especially in hip-hop. But this is not one that I would listen to with my kids in the backseat, because it is kind of racy, because Nicki Minaj is kind of racy.
It's actually kind of amazing that all those Nicki Minaj songs are played on major pop radio stations, because as I was putting this podcast together, it was kind of unbelievable to me that that you could say this kind of stuff on the radio, like we're about to do. It's going down, basement, Friday the 13th, guess who's playing Jason? Tuck yourself in, you better hold on to your teddy, it's Nightmare on Elm Street, and guess who's playing Freddy?
Hello, woman rapping on the radio.
Wait, was that an actual female voice rapping on the radio? I didn't know that that still happened. You a rookie to me, I'm in that wind, band,
purple lamb, damn it, been a band. So what do you think it is about Nicki Minaj that has allowed her to sort of have this presence on the radio that not a lot of female MCs have had, especially in recent years?
I don't know. I mean, she's definitely got a very outsized presence and tons of charisma, and she's got this whole Black Barbie persona that she's built up, and she's built a loyal cult following of young girls who call themselves Barbies, and she calls them my Barbies. But there are just as many other hip-hop fans and other women who see her as everything that's wrong with the roles that women have in media today.
I think right now, female pop stars with outsized personas are definitely taking the pole position in pop radio supremacy, and she definitely has a big persona around her, you know, with her Harajuku Barbie look and her crazy accents, where she can go from like a Cockney accent to a Queens accent to a Valley Girl drawl. You were sleeping on me thinking it was slumber time. Now I'm a trending topic, let on my number sign. Wanna play? Meet me at the fumble line, cause I'm the ninja, cowabunga time. Buzzing like a bee, but nope, I don't sting a ling. Ching-a-ling-a-ling, I show 'em the middle finger ring. Ting-a-ling-a-ling, school bell a ring-a-ling, stick shift the ding-a-ling, boy like y'all mingling. Excuse me, what happened? I'm flyer than a robin, I'm flyer than an eagle, you're done up and make a nubbin. And when I pop that, I pop it on his Suzuki, I pop it so crazy, kooky, I'm back in them daisy dookie. I'm shaking it for daddy, you want more, more.
It's tough for anyone to sort of break through if they're just doing the same old, same old. And she has her fans, and she's named her fans. And that reminds me actually of another very outsized persona who's doing really well with a very devoted fan base, which is Lady Gaga, who has her monsters and, you know, is always Twittering at them and saying like, oh, I love my monsters. Because Nicki and because Gaga both have these outsized personalities, they have something that their fans can latch onto and identify with, for better, I guess, for better or worse, you know, in terms of what that means for depictions of female sexuality.
There's a subtle difference between a Barbie and a monster, I think, that frustrates many people. Just as it brings many loyal followers, I think a lot of other people wish that she would have chosen anything other than a Barbie
right.
to be what she's forming her followers into.
Cause you was penny pinching, my account's laced. Attention, about face.
The Mariah Carey collaboration, the Up Out My Face, is interesting to me because if you listen to the lyrics of the song as a whole, it's about a woman being independent and being able to kick a man to the curb if he's not treating her right because she's successful on her own.
See me on a poster, see me at a show, but you won't see me for free, boy, this ain't no promo.
But then when you look at the video, you see Nicki and Mariah literally inside Barbie packaging as Barbie dolls, rapping and singing from inside the Barbie box.
Yeah. Barbie is a really interesting choice just because she has defined white female sexuality for so long. So this is sort of reclamatory in a way.
I think you could read it that way,
yeah.
But you could also read it as encouraging black women to try to conform to white standards of beauty.
Very true.
She got that good, good. She Michael Jackson bad. I'm attracted to her for her attractive.
So Nicki Minaj is part of a crew, a collective of rappers known as the Young Money Crew. The head of the crew is Lil Wayne, and also Drake, the biggest pop rapper right now, is a part of the crew. So I think that colors people's perception of Nicki Minaj, and people will sometimes assume that Drake and Wayne came up with her image and maybe write her lyrics for her. And I even saw Peppa from Salt and Pepper was lamenting Nicki Minaj's emphasis on sexuality and raunchiness, and she said, well, to me, this is what happens when you're in a crew of all men. This is what they tell you to do.
Okay, I get it. Let me think. I guess it's my turn. Maybe it's time to put this on your sideburns. He say I'm bad. He probably right. He pressing me like button downs on a Friday night. I'm so pretty, like, be on my pedal bike. Be on my low starch. Be on my egg whites. He say, Nicki, don't stop, you the bestest. And I just be coming off the top as bestest.
I love your sushi roll, hotter than wasabi.
It's a really interesting thing that, you know, you see a lot just in terms of any female artist who does have, like, a man behind her. There is always the assumption that there are strings being pulled or relationships that aren't being disclosed. And obviously, so much of the history of pop music is just based on people behind the scenes, whether it's with a Britney Spears type or a New Kids on the Block type. You know, so much of the history of pop is just these stars that are being put forward by people who are the quote-unquote brains behind the operation, whether they're writing the songs or deciding the marketing plans.
Whereas in the rock and the hip-hop world, first of all, aggression is a big part of it, so mm-hmm. that sort of works against women as far as perception and expectation. But also, in both rock and hip-hop, the artist is sort of expected to be an auteur and be coming up with their own ideas and the mastermind of their own persona and their own sound. And when people see a woman's face on the cover of the CD, they tend to assume that she's not the auteur.
Right. Okay. Whoa, Holiday. Wait, hold on, Holiday.
It's funny, I've worked in a lot of male-dominant environments before, and there is definitely a currency to sort of like sexually charged banter. And so part of me wonders if she's not trying in a way to sort of establish herself in a very male-dominated world. It's almost like taking the power of leering out of the man's hands and putting it into their own.
Flyer than the kite, I get higher than my punzu. Keep the snow white, I could buy it by the bundle. Duck your cookies up before they crumble. Don't be acting like the Cardinals and gone bumble. Cause I'm a stealer, fresh up out the dealer. All the dope boys gon' feel her. Flow so sick, I need a healer. Fuck this my Mac concealer. I be out in Queens on the back of 4 weeks.
I think she can spit, as the kids like to say. I mean, I think it gets obscured for some people by all the characters that she does and the funny voices. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I think, especially if you listen to a lot of her older mixtape stuff, she's doing traditional New York rhyming with internal rhymes and a lot of structure and flow. She just happens to be this voluptuous woman who sort of resembles the hip-hop Jessica Rabbit. I feel like if Nicki Minaj had other female voices balancing her out, she would have the freedom to be transgressive and experiment and be playful, and it wouldn't be seen as problematic the way it is now. The same way that NWA came out and were able to be very antisocial and transgressive, but it was seen as cool because they had so many other voices balancing them out in the hip-hop world. You had Public Enemy and KRS-One and the Jungle Brothers. You had a lot of different perspectives out there that balanced out their horrifying perspective. So it was okay for them to go there. But 10 or 15 years later, when the scope of commercial hip-hop had narrowed, for you to come out with that same sort of gangster vibe wasn't really cool anymore. It was problematic because there wasn't anything balancing it out. So right now, I feel like Nicki Minaj is sort of an NWA in a world with no Public Enemies. And if we get some other female voices in the mix, then she could be the sort of female sexual NWA and get away with it in a way that she can't right now. So I'm hoping that the palette will be expanded and give her more freedom.
That's Jay Smooth, who blogs at illdoctrine.com, and music writer Maura Johnston. And we're running a special feature right now on Morning Edition where Jay Smooth and Maura Johnston talk to each other about issues in popular culture. And if you have suggestions about topics you'd like them to cover, please leave them for us in the comments section of npr.org/culturetopia, and I will take those comments into consideration.
If you consider anything else?
I'll consider what you have to say, editor.
Yeah, great. I'm Sarah Saracen.
And I'm Zoe Chase. Thanks for listening.
Others say rhymes fail to be original, or they kill where the hip-hop starts. Forget about the ghetto and rap for the pop charts. Some musicians cuss at home, but scared to use profanity when up on the microphone. Yeah, they want reality, but you will hear none. They'd rather exaggerate a little fiction. Some say no to drugs and take a stand, but after the show, they go looking for the dope man. Or they ban my group from the radio here in WA and say hell no. But you know it ain't all about wealth, as long as you make a note to spread yourself.